How are you now? How are you right now? Habs and Leafs, folks, on a Saturday night, does it get any better than this? Hello and welcome to episode 64 of the Bottom 6 Minutes podcast presented by Habs Eyes and the Prize. I am Matt Drake, and I'm here to talk to you about the Montreal Canadiens playing against the Toronto Maple Leafs on home ice, making their return from that, up and down road trip, you could call it, and taking on a team that is, they're heading to the playoffs. They might be limping their way in, the way some of their recent games have gone. I caught a little bit of their 4-1 loss to the Boston Bruins the other night, and I was like, ooh, it doesn't look like a team that's going to have a whole heck of a lot of success beyond this second round, which is apparently now their big bad that they need to defeat. Look, I went into this one wanting a win because I grew up in Leafs country in Southern Ontario. And, I lived there most of my life. And, as a French kid growing up in Southern Ontario, you get a lot of shit from your friends that are Leafs fans. And any chance that the Montreal Canadiens have to take a game away from the Toronto Maple Leafs is music to my ears. So that's what I wanted against all, tanking aspirations that this team might have. I wanted them to get this one. So we're going to get to the recap. We're going to, talk through all the things that happened in that game, the good and the bad. But before we do that, as you know, BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with live in-game betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team, and remember to use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Free money, folks. Bet online. The game starts here. And your Montreal Canadiens, man, did they ever have a quick start to this game. The first shot of the game, Juraj Slafkovský's coming in on the left-hand side. He takes a hit in order to make an entry pass. Really good play, and he throws it all the way across to the other side to Cole Caulfield. He's a shot threat, as we all know. But he feathers it into the middle instead. And Mike Matheson joins the rush, drives in completely uncovered, goes to the backhand and puts it in on Ilya Samsonov. It's 1-0 for your Montreal Canadiens, not even 40 seconds into the game on their first shot. But not long after that, things get slowed down a little bit through no fault of the players, actually. Well, sort of through fault of the players. Matthew Nyes took Alex Newhook into the boards, and they knocked out a pane of glass. And it took, maybe 15 minutes in real time to actually repair that pane of glass. It seems like they brought one out and they fucked up. They brought the wrong one. They had to bring out another one. It was a comedy of errors from the rink rats there. They couldn't figure it out, and it slowed the game down a little bit. But the Habs, with an early 1-0 lead, the egregious delay notwithstanding, they get back into it, and we get chances going both ways. Honestly, it's pretty back and forth. The first half of the first period belonged mostly to the Montreal Canadiens. They obviously got the goal, and I think, for my money, they were getting the better chances. But the second half, right around the midway point, it kind of turned, and maybe it was a little bit more in favor of the Leafs. But overall, I don't think that you can really say that anybody owned that period, aside from the Habs getting the only goal of that period. It was really the goaltenders, Semed Montembeau and Ilya Samsonov, that imposed themselves in that period. And, we get to the end of it, and it is still 1-0 for the Montreal Canadiens, which, if you're the Habs, I think you take that. You take that every day and twice on Sundays. It's going pretty well for them, considering they're up against the playoff team here. And just like the first period, though, we go into the second period and we get a very early goal, but this time it's the other way. We get a bobble at the blue line with Arbor Jacki. Bobby McMahon gets it. He takes off. He's basically all alone, and he beats Semyon Moldambo on the short side on the breakaway. And it's 1-1. And I'm thinking at that point, all the goals are just going to happen in the first minute of each period. Well, I guess if it's our turn in the third, then we're going to take this one 2-1. But from that point on in the second period, after the Bobby McMahon goal, both teams were pretty reserved. It seemed like they just didn't want to make any errors. Nobody wanted to give up the next one. Nobody wanted to give up any power plays. We do get some 4-on-4 hockey at the midway point because of one penalty against the Habs very shortly afterwards. The Leafs took one of their own, and that seems to loosen everyone up. Now we're going back and forth a little bit. We're getting chances. But the goaltenders are still really imposing themselves in this game and keeping the score at 1-1 where it already was. But then just final minute and a half, big flip out of the zone for the Leafs. Max Domi, He goes racing after it. He beats Jordan Harris to the puck, and you know, he's basically in on half a break. He's got two guys kind of on him there, but he manages to get the puck under the glove arm of Samuel Montembeau. 2-1 is your score in favor of the Leafs at the end of the second period. At the start of the third, the Habs had to kill off a penalty, an absolute bullshit penalty, because there was a scrum at the end of the second period. Really should have just been offsetting minors or coincidental minors, whatever you want to call. There's no reason that the Habs should have been having to kill a penalty at the end of that, but they did, and they managed to actually do it, and that's huge, because shortly after they killed off the penalty, Timothy Liljegren takes a holding penalty on Jake Evans in the defensive zone of the Leafs, and this is a big chance for the Montreal Canadiens, and guess who gets it going for them again? It's Juraj Slafkovský doing some fantastic work along the half wall. I mean, the Leafs have a very high-pressure penalty kill that they're trying to run against the Montreal Canadiens. They've got two guys all over Juraj Slafkovský. He makes a quick little heads-up pass with two guys on him to Alex Newhook, who's coming in. And now, because they had two guys on Slaf, Newhook's got all the time and space in the world. He walks in and snipes it far side. 2-2. Juraj Slafkovský really making his mark on this game. And the Habs are right back in it. And honestly, for the remainder of that period, they are the far better team at 5-on-5. And you can take a look at Natural Stat Trick, look at the stats if you want, if you don't believe me. Overall, in this game, they were the better team at 5-on-5. And particularly so, for my money, in the third period. And look, none of that matters, though. None of that matters, because just under 7 minutes left to play, Jake McCabe puts one on net. Samuel Montembeau makes the save, but the rebound bounces off of John Tavares' leg and into the net, and the score is 3-2 in favor of the Toronto Maple Leafs. We go all the way down to about 3 minutes left to play. Habs get a golden chance with another power play. They pull Samuel Montembeau about halfway through it to go for a 6-on-4, but they could not get a good shot. The one thing that bothered me was, I forget who it was, I think it was TJ Brody. He cleaved Yoel Armia's stick in half in front of the net during that 6-on-4 power play, and the refs just let that one go. So realistically, there should have been an opportunity there for a 6-on-3, a short 6-on-3, but a 6-on-3 nonetheless for the Montreal Canadiens that was just not awarded because the refs apparently looked the other fucking way. Anyways, the power play ends. They go back to 6-on-5. They couldn't score there either. Juraj Slafkovský did ring one off the post, so they came very, very close to tying that game. But 3-2 is, in fact, your final in favor of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And look, folks, I went into this one wanting a win. Matter of fact, prior to the game, I had a short conversation on Twitter with Sean Hashim, who's a fellow Habs fan. Some of you may know him. Some of you may have seen his tweets. He's a very good tweeter. And a lawyer, actually, I believe. And he had mentioned before the game, he's like, this is one that we need to lose, all right, guys? And I had commented back to him, and I'm like, look, that's a bridge too far for me. I cannot cheer for the Habs to lose to the Leafs. I can accept them losing, but I will not cheer for them to lose against the Leafs. I want this one just for what it would give me in terms of ammunition for all my Leafs friends, Leafs fan friends back home in Ontario and all over the place, really. And honestly, after watching that game, I think I have the same ammunition that I would have had with a win. The Leafs are going into the playoffs now, knowing that they struggled that hard against a rebuilding Habs team. And yeah, I know the Leafs didn't have Mitch Marner, but if that's the route that you want to go, let me just go ahead and list all of the Habs players that are injured for you, and you can go ahead and make a determination whether or not we're more affected by the injury bug than you guys. The Habs took it to the Leafs, and they were the better team at 5-on-5 in that game, and the Leafs needed a lucky bounce in order to get the game-winning goal. If I'm a Leafs fan, I'm not happy whatsoever with that game. And matter of fact, I'm pissed off about that game, because you guys played a game that, again, I go back to the same analogy that I always use. If we played that exact same game 10 times, the Habs win more than 5 of those. The Habs probably win 7 out of 10 if that exact game is played over and over and over again. The Leafs got the one lucky bounce that happens sometimes in hockey. And yes, you do need some of those bounces in the playoffs, but if I'm a Leafs fan, again, I'm not happy about that, because I don't think that you're going to get into a situation where you're tight with a team like Boston, who you're probably going to be playing in the first round, at least not tight enough where that one lucky bounce is going to win you a game. Certainly not tight enough regularly over a seven game series where those lucky bounces are going to win you four out of seven games. So good luck to y'all in the playoffs. If you're feeling good about that game against the Habs and you want to brag about it and you want to talk some shit online, yeah, go ahead and do that. But good fucking luck in the playoffs against real teams. We just saw the Habs play against the Carolina Hurricanes the other night, and they got dominated. At 5-on-5, it was not a close game. And the Hurricanes are also going to the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. And then we see them play against the Leafs, and it's tight, and the Habs honestly are the better team at 5-on-5. So, again, Leafs fans, if you happen to be listening, how happy can you honestly be about that win? If I were you, I wouldn't be at all. I'd be pissed. But I digress. We need to move on from talking about Leafs fans. Team Tank, probably very happy about that loss. I think that the Habs played a very, very good game and against the playoff team. And the fact that they come out without getting 2 points, I think is big for the Tank. But the fact that they went in there and took it to a team that's going to the playoffs, that's almost considered a cup contender at this point, I think, by some, at least certainly by Sportsnet, if they would have you believe this is the cup contender. The fact that the Habs were able to do that, I think, is a feather in their cap. And I think for Team Tank, you got to look at it like they didn't get the 2 points and they actually managed to look good. That's great. So that's probably, for me, a good segue into the player of the game, or the silver lining of the night, if you will. And I think it's pretty obvious who this one's got to go to. It's Juraj Slafkovský, without a doubt. He was excellent in that game. Obviously assisted on the game opener, 40 seconds into the game. But for me, the bigger one was that second goal that he got the apple on. The work on the half wall, man. He was an absolute monster. On the half wall, in the corners, anywhere he went along the boards, he was an absolute monster in this game. There was a point in the third period where he goes into, like, not quite the corner, but they're coming up along the half wall out of the corner against Joel Edmondson, who is a big boy. And Juraj Slafkovský absolutely suns him and knocks him right over like he was a child. And that was kind of the story of the game, was how good he was in those battles, how good he was in tight. He had some other opportunities where he might have, he put one off the post when they were at the 6-on-5 at the end of the game with the net empty. So he could have had 3 points in that game, but he leaves it with two. And both of those points were from really good plays off the wall. And this is the kind of thing that if you're drafting somebody for their size, then you want them to be able to do precisely those things. You want them to be able to get to those dirty areas, win battles, and to be able to make plays in tight with guys all over you. And that's precisely what Juraj Slafkovský was doing in that game. I go back to, and I know I kind of glossed over it for a second because I was about to start talking about it, and then I got wrapped up and I went off on a little segue. The second goal, the one on the power play, he's on the half wall and he gets it. And I swear, you got to go back and look at the highlight. If you haven't seen it, it's on my Twitter. There I go, plugging my Twitter again, at DrakeMT. He's on the half wall and he's got two guys all over him. And if you watched those power plays, man, the Leafs, like I said during the recap, were really making a point of trying to be overtly aggressive. They were trying to get all over the Habs power play operators and just disrupt everything that they were doing. They were trying to not give them a second of room to breathe. And they were doing that to Slafkovský on the wall. And the first time they did it, early in that same power play, he kind of moved it down low. And then he got it back and he moved it up to the point. So he was constantly scanning and he was figuring out where that puck needed to go to get the pressure off of him. And then when he gets it back from the point, the pressure's right back on him. But again, he's scanning. And this time it's Newhook. And because there's two guys out along the wall like that, he makes the right pass there to Newhook. Newhook's gone free. And Newhook walks in, makes a beautiful snipe, and ties the game for the Habs. Unfortunately, of course, the lucky bounce came not too long after that and derailed the potential win that they might have gotten as a result of tying that game up with the power play. But look, Juraj Slafkovský played like a gigantic man in that game, and I don't know what more you can ask from this guy. He went cold for a little bit there, didn't he? He had that hot streak. Matter of fact, best hot streak a teenager's ever had as a member of the Montreal Canadiens. And he went cold for a little bit, and that's going to happen. And the important thing for him when he went cold was to continue doing the things that made him successful during the best hot streak that a teenager's ever had in a Montreal Canadiens uniform. And he did that. He never stopped playing the way that he was playing. He just wasn't getting the bounces, and he wasn't getting any shooting luck. And when he made the right pass to his teammates, they weren't getting any shooting luck. And in this game, he got it a little bit, but he also made his own luck. Like, that pass to Caulfield on the first goal was a beautiful pass. I don't even know how he saw Caulfield through all those bodies coming up to the line like that, but he put it tape to tape, managed to stay onside, and took a hit to make the play, and then ends up with an assist for it. So Juraj Slafkovský, silver lining of the night, fantastic game from him, and we can keep it going. I think Alex Newhook deserves a mention in this one as well. Alex Newhook was fantastic. Obviously, the power play goal is one thing, but I think even outside of that, he looked very good. He looked speedy. He was making really nice plays. He had one where he tried to cut to the net. He comes on his backhand, moves it back into the middle, and just barely rolled off of his blade. If that one didn't roll off of his blade, I think it was in the second period, I'm pretty sure it's a goal. He saw, he had Joshua Roy with him, and Roy made the smart play and was driving the middle lane and going in towards the net, and he took the defense with him a little bit. And again, if that puck just rolls the right way for Newhook, I think he's got a goal there as well. At the very least, he would have got it on net and maybe a rebound for Roy. But look, it was a very good game from Alex Newhook. I think it's been a string of very good games for him, honestly, and he doesn't get enough credit for how well he's been playing lately, just because he hasn't been piling up crazy amounts of points. But he's been up there. He's certainly been on the score sheets. Last five games, he's got 4 points, and on the season, he's sitting at 20 points in 36 games. So over an 82 game pace, this would be by far a career high for him. So I don't want to call it too early, but we may have another Doc situation on our hands here with one of those deals that Kent Hughes pulled off. He's had that MO of going after guys that have already been drafted, that have maybe already spent a couple years in the league, but are maybe undervalued by the teams that they're with. And right now, what is he at? 31 points, 31 point pace but he's only going to be playing in about 50 some odd games. Let me calculate it. So he's at 20 in 36 games. So that's over half a point per game. So you take that to 82. Yeah, 45-point pace. His previous best season was last year with the Colorado Avalanche. Or no, sorry, 2 years ago with the Colorado Avalanche. He had 33 points in 71 games. So in this season, he's on pace for an 82-game pace, rather, for about 45. And if he didn't get hurt, who knows? He might even be on a better pace right now. You keep him in that line for the remainder of the year with Joshua Roy and Yoel Armia. I think his pace is going to improve. I think he might get close to 40 points, even in the 50 some odd games that he's going to end up playing. So, really, a great game from him and a great string of games from him. So I think he deserves a shout out there. Outside of those two, I don't know who else individually I could highlight. Arbor Jack, I thought he was actually quite good in that game, outside of the one mistake that he made at the blue line. If he doesn't bobble that, obviously it could be a different game. But outside of that, he was quite good, and he went after Ryan Reeves at one point in the third period, and got a good body check on him, but didn't have to fight him, which I think a lot of people are obsessed with the idea of him fighting Ryan Reeves, and for good reason. It's good entertainment, but I think for Jack, I think we needed him more than the Leafs needed Ryan Reeves. Let's face it. Especially towards the end of that game when we're down a goal, the Leafs would probably take that trade every day and twice on Sundays to say, all right, we can get rid of one of their defensemen for a guy that we're barely playing at forward. So I liked the fact that Jack Eye didn't go out searching for that fight just to try and prove something from a heavyweight belt perspective. He just went out there and he did his work, and I thought more often than not he was making the right play. Mike Matheson was, I don't even know how to put it with Mike Matheson. He made a very fantastic play on the first goal. Right. Obviously, he spots the open ice, goes and fills a lane, jumps into the rush and scores a goal. Magnificent. The second goal, he was the one up at the point that bumped it back down to Juraj Slafkovský. So he gets a secondary assist, mostly on the back of Juraj Slafkovský. But he also made some plays that really bothered me at the point. But that's the thing with Mike Matheson, is that he's going to make some plays every game, even on his best game. He's going to make some plays that bother you. But you got to take it in context of his overall effort and what he's able to contribute. And I think in that one, you got to say he was maybe the best defenseman on the ice for either team. The Leafs may be regretting that they didn't throw a big old offer at the Montreal Canadiens to get a hold of him, because oof, there was some plays made by Leafs defenders in that game that were absolutely shocking from a team that's heading to the playoffs. So I think that's going to be my final take right there, is take a look at it this way, right? Again, I walked into this game wanting the Habs to win. And then my buddy on Twitter, Sean Hashim, he walked into that game saying, no, I really want them to lose. I think all of us got the best of both worlds out of that game. They didn't get the 2 points, but they played well enough to get the 2 points. And they did so against a team that is absolutely going to the playoffs and that people seem to think are legitimate cup contenders. If they can do that now with the roster they have now, with the players they have that are out hurt, imagine what they're going to be able to do next year or the year after that, when a lot of those same players that contributed to this game being what it was are still around. And not only that, by the time we get 1-2 years down the road from now, they're going to have more players. They're going to have better players. They're going to have a better roster. This rebuild's going well, folks. That's what I'm trying to say. The rebuild's going well, and you know, losing 2 points in that game just gives them a better chance at a better pick this offseason. So I'm going to cut it off there. I thought that was a great game for the Montreal Canadiens. Tell me what you thought in the comment section over on Habs on the Prize. If you're feeling like it, you can go over there and see the article that's going to come along with this. It's probably going to be about Juraj Slafkovský. So if you're into Juraj Slafkovský, go check it out. If not, well, I hope you enjoyed the podcast. We're running, 21 and a half minutes, probably about 22 and change by the time I'm done with the rest of the spiel. So, c'est une grosse soirée pour les employés de soutien. We are on Spotify, Google Play, Apple. I'm on Twitter at DrakeMT. Drop me a follow. I would appreciate that very much. Thank you, as always, for listening. This episode was brought to you by BetOnline. And, of course, à la prochaine.